Today we're coming from Jeremiah chapter 29. During these tough times, it might seem like God is not with us, but I assure you that he is with us and he is working on our behalf. All we have to do is humble ourselves and seek him. And he is there. Amen. The 29th chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the prophet who was sharing the messages from God during the time that Judah was in captivity by the Babylonians. And he was often criticized for sharing the words that he did. He was often criticized for sharing what God had inspired in his heart. But he was telling the truth. This was a time when the children of Israel had disobeyed God. And because of that, they were punished. And the instrument of their punishment was the Babylonian Empire, which came in, beat them up, took away the smartest of the smartest, took them away, displaced them to Babylon until such a time that they could go back to their own country. And that time would be 70 years that they were in captivity. But I want to share a word of comfort today. I want to share a word of encouragement that no matter how bad it might seem, the Lord is still with us. Do we believe that today, that the Lord is still with us, regardless of how bad things might seem in our lives? Amen? Well, now that you have found Jeremiah chapter 29, I want to read a few verses. And I want to read starting at the 10th verse of Jeremiah 29. As I get to the 11th verse, you will hear something that you are familiar with, but I will start with the 10th verse. He says, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." Amen. This is the word of the Lord to the residents of Judah, the children of Israel, the ones who were in captivity in Babylon. This was just God letting them know that everything's going to be all right, but it's going to take a while. You're going to have to suffer for your sins. You're going to have to suffer punishment for your activities. But in the end, everything's going to be all right because I'm going to bring y'all back together. Amen. And I believe that this gives us reassurance today that God will bring us together. And it might be that glorious time when we meet the Lord face to face. But I believe that there is still hope, there is still comfort, there is still reassurance in this mighty word of God. So therefore, let us pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for just allowing me to share your word once again, Father. And I just pray that as I share your word, that, Lord, you will just be in the midst, Father, and just be with us, Father, and just open our hearts to hear what thus saith the Lord. One more time, and I ask all the saints to pray along with me at this time in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 The topic today, God has a plan for you. Do you believe that God has a plan for you? Do you believe that God has prepared a plan for you. Just as well as he has prepared a place for us, he has a plan for us. No matter how bad it seems, my brothers and my sisters, God has a plan for us. Now, I want to put this in context. Who is being punished here? These are God's people being punished in this scenario. They are being punished. Sometimes we ask, why does this happen to me? Well, we are not the only ones who have to suffer through things. Now, let's recap who God's people are. They were the mighty people. These were the people who were called by God. These were the people who had participated in and witnessed the escape from slavery through the Red Sea. They saw the miracles of God. These were the ones who entered into the promised land that God had prepared for them on dry ground. These were the ones who saw the walls of Jericho fall down without a battle. These were the ones who saw a mighty God at work. But over time, it seems like sometimes we forget about God. We forget about what he's done for us. It might be like the children of Israel. It might be through bad leadership. They had bad kings who got in the way of their progress. They had people who instituted stuff that ought not to be instituted in the nation, and the people who followed along. So therefore, they were punished by God for this. And the Babylonians were the instrument that God used to punish them. So therefore, now they are in punishment and they are under Babylonian rule. They have no more land of their own, but yet God is still with them. During tough times, we ask sometimes, Lord, where are you? He is with us. And he tells the people here in Jeremiah 29, verse 10, that it's going to be another 70 years before you will be free. Now, just because it's going to be a while before they might be free, it does not mean that God did not think about them. It doesn't mean that God did not have plans for them. It did not mean that God had abandoned them, but they must go through what they must go through before they can come through to what has once again been promised to them. So I encourage you, no matter how bad it might seem, God has a plan for each and every one of us. So on that 11th verse, again, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. First of all, God does have a plan. God does have a plan. So let's rest assured that God does have a plan. And you know, the plan he has for us is of good things. It is not bad things. There are some who will have plans that are not good for us, but no, the plans that God has are plans that are good for us. He has good plans, but not bad plans. And he has, this also tells us that he has plans of hope for the future. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, here's where we get in trouble sometimes. When we try to outplan God, when we try to outthink God, when we try to do things our own way and ignore God. But I want to take us to Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 9. And here is what it says in Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, it's interesting that, you know, we kind of think we know it all. And I think each of us have that experience when we thought we were grown, you know, when we thought we were grown and we no longer had to listen to our parents and we tried to do things our ways. And we found out that the most of the time it didn't work out quite right because our parents told us not to do it. And they had a reason for telling us not to do that because they had experienced things that we had not experienced yet, because they knew more than we knew, because they had wisdom that we had not attained yet. And therefore, whatever we did fell flat and we had to go back humble and, you know, and like that. But God's ways are not like our ways. God knows all. We don't know all. We just know a little bit. We think we know it all sometimes, but we do not know it all. Now, Jacob is a perfect example. You know, Jacob and Esau, you know, they were Esau was the firstborn and Jacob was the secondborn. But God had told their mother, Rebekah, that the second one, that the first one would serve the second one in the end. So she knew that, but she tried her own plan to make that happen. So she had the secondborn, who was Jacob, fool the father into thinking he was the firstborn, and he stole the birthright of the eldest son, Esau, and it worked in the end, but Jacob had to suffer many hardships in his life before he could be what God wanted him to be, before he saw that truly that Esau did eventually serve him, but he had to work many years unnecessarily to make himself into the great nation that God had planned for him because of the ways he went about it. You see, he had his own plan. His mother had her own plan, where God had the perfect plan. Moses, another example. Moses sent the 12 spies out to the promised land. You know, when they were in the wilderness after escaping Egypt and they were in the wilderness for a period and they had already been promised this promised land, this luscious land, this land of milk and honey, this fruitful land, this land that had everything that could sustain their life. So God had already promised it to them. And Moses decided to send 12 spies out to spy out the land and said, come back and tell me what you see. And when these 12 spies came back, 10 of them had negative reports. I mean, they all had the positive report that it is true that this land is flowing with milk and honey. This is a good land, plenty of lumber to build stuff. This was a great land. But they were so focused on the strength of the people that they felt like we do not have the capability to go and take the land that God has promised us. Only two, Joshua and Caleb, they were the only two who came and said, look, if God said we can do it, we can do it. It's not up to us to figure it out. We just need to realize that God has a plan. If he has given this land to us, he has a plan. But as a result of the negative reports from the 10 of the 12 spies, they decided not to go into the promised land and had to suffer because they did not trust God enough to realize that he had a plan for them. How many times, my brothers and sisters, have we been punished because we ignore God's plan and want to do it our own way? Or we get in the way of God's plan and try and do it another way, thinking that we know a better way where God has a perfect way? I'm not going to wait for you to say amen, because I know you're saying amen in your own homes right now. Now, going on to verse 12 of Jeremiah 29. He says, then you will call upon me. Just to recap verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think of you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And what he's telling his children here is that, you know, after these 70 years of captivity, you will be in a place where then you will realize that I had the best plan overall. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Then you will seek God's plan and not your own plan. Then you shall call on me. Now that you are in trouble, now that you are punished, you will call on me. You shall pray to me. And guess what? The Lord says, I will hear you. This is confirmed. This is confirmed in scripture. Amen. In 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. We already know how to do it. We read the word, we read scripture, but sometimes we have a problem with the application of scripture. Again, verse 12, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And in verse 13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. When you search for me with all of your heart, we shall look for the Lord. We will find the Lord when we search him with all of our heart. And the question begs, can we search for the Lord with less than all of our heart? How many have searched for things only to come up short because they did not devote their time to search for it? How many of us have come up short? Isaiah 55, starting at verse six says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon that person. Don't you know that when we seek the Lord, that things will come together? When we earnestly seek the Lord, we have to seek the Lord with our whole heart. Now, I have discovered in life, now that I am older, I can speak with the level of wisdom in the life I have served, but I have discovered that the time spent seeking is in proportion to our desire to find. You see, if you want to find something bad enough, you will spend more time seeking it. I recall a time that I was in Virginia, and I had heard about this really proclaimed and restaurant, barbecue restaurant that was really good. It was out in the country. It was like in no man's land. And what I liked about it, it combined two of my favorite foods. One was barbecue and the other one was Cajun. And when you put those in the same sentence, you have me hooked. So I decided I was going to find this restaurant. Now, mind you, my brothers and sisters, this was like pre-GPS and getting us there real quick. And I spent over an hour driving down country roads trying to find this restaurant. And just when I was about to give up, I said, no, I've come this far to give up now. So I kept on searching, and eventually I did find it, probably over an hour and a half of searching. Now, you know what? If that had not been important to me, I would not have spent that much time trying to seek it. I would have spent 15 minutes and I said, forget this, I'm going someplace else to eat. But it was important to me enough to spend the extra time and the extra gas to try and find it. And I found it, and the food was excellent, just as advertised. There are a few things in life that are just as advertised, but I got to tell you one thing right here, that our relationship with Jesus Christ, we might go through tough times, but guess what? It's just as advertised, because he is with us just when we need him, right on time. We serve an on-time God. 1 John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Again, confirmation that the confidence we have and the reliability of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of our relationship with God. We know that if we ask according to his will, we will receive it. And that does not tell us when we will receive it. Now these children of Judah had to wait 70 years to receive what they were praying for. But you know, God did bring them out in the end. I hope that's not a spoiler alert to some of you, but God did bring them out. I will tell you the end. God brought them back and they reclaimed their land and they thrived and prospered in their land once they came out of captivity and they sought the Lord and they just sought the Lord and they just blessed the Lord and they served the Lord. And you know what? Hopefully, now I know it's not going to take me 70 years to get motivated to seek the Lord. And I hope it doesn't take that long for many of us. But the Lord is out there and he is with us. And he does have a plan for us. The 14th verse in this chapter 29 of Jeremiah, he says, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which which I caused you to be carried away unto captivity. Think about it. Look how many times you see that personal pronoun I in there. I believe it's six times you see that word I, because what God is saying is that, you know, you might think you're waiting for the cavalry, but it is me who's going to do this. You might think you're waiting for the opportunity to escape by night, but it is me who's going to do this. You might be plotting, planning for the time you can get back into your own country, but it is going to be me who's going to do this. Once we allow the Lord to be part of the plan, he will restore us. He will turn us away from our captivity. He will gather us and he will restore us. Interesting. Focus on the I. And that I is Jesus. That I is that relationship that we have with God. That I is so much stronger than me, myself, but I is the Lord. So therefore, again, going back to that 11th verse, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you a future and a hope. You know, we spend a lot of time and energy trying to figure out what somebody else is thinking about us. We spend a lot of time trying to interpret the activities and actions that others have towards us. But how much time do we spend focusing on the actions, the activities, and the thoughts that God has towards us? Seek him and we will find peace. Seek him and we will find comfort. Seek him and we will find what we need. Seek the Lord, for he truly does have a plan for us. Even at times where it might seem like he doesn't, he does have a plan for us. But on our part, we have to seek him with our whole heart. So God bless you and remember that God does have a plan for us.